You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. This episode is brought to you by the Racehorse Owners Association, by Thoroughbred Racing Commentary's Global Rankings in partnership with the Saudi Cup, and by the Fitzdares Club. Hi there, you've tuned in to the Nick Luck Daily Podcast. I hope you're enjoying our daily offerings available each weekday morning, bringing you the latest news, the best interviews, and the sharpest insight from the world of thoroughbred horse racing. Last autumn, I was fortunate enough to team up with Tattersalls to bring you their excellent Bloodstock Bulletin, and we've reached the same agreement again, and you've got two episodes to enjoy this week to coincide with their extremely important Craven Breeze Up sales. So with that in mind, let's head over now and enjoy the familiar Club Lounge strains and velvet larynx of your host, Gina Bryce.
Welcome back to the Bloodstock Bulletin. I'm Gina Bryce, and alongside Tattersalls, the UK's leading thoroughbred auction house, we'll be bringing you a two-part podcast to kick off our 2021 season, focusing on the upcoming Breeze Up sales at Tattersalls. The Craven sale takes place at Park Paddocks from the 12th to the 14th of April, but what a strange old build-up to this year's sale it has been. In the last 12 months, the racing and breeding industries have been somewhat fortunate in their ability to keep the show on the road, doing a magnificent job to ensure the industry has been able to carry on safely as we all continue to tackle the challenges of COVID-19. So understandably, there will of course be some trepidation, some apprehension heading into a new year of sales. But in a very positive move for vendors and buyers alike, we must start with the news of a new Tattersalls Breeze Up bonus to reward buyers with a share of an incredible £250,000 prize fund for Craven purchases that are able to win any of the 6 2-year-old contests at Royal Ascot or a Group 1 contest this season. And that, of course, does sit alongside that pre-existing Craven bonus scheme. And very shortly, we'll find out a little bit more from the Tattersalls marketing director, Jimmy George, on that front. Now, if you are in the market for a breezer to pick up one of those sought-after bonuses, then another strong catalogue awaits you, and in which the trained eye will no doubt be drawn very quickly to the draft of renowned consigner Brendan Blarney Holland of Grove Stud. Now, shortly, he'll be chatting to me to let us in on a few of his secrets to selecting the best yearlings to breeze, in addition to sharing his thoughts on that age-old official timing debate and his optimism, of course, for what this year might bring. Now, we're also going to hear from a buyer steeped in Breeze Up success. Agent Matt Coleman joins me to share some of his secrets to selecting a successful racehorse. And I'll try to get an early steer from him on some of the first season sires to look out for this year. Spoiler alert, he's done very well out of this in the past, so we want to try and get in on the action. Now, first, it is only to be expected that this year's sales season may be approached with a certain degree of caution. And I caught up with our first guest, Agent Jake Warren, and started by asking him just how tricky the last 12 months have been.
It's been challenging for everybody, Gina, but what's been rather remarkable, I think, is been everybody's resilience through this last 12 months. You know, we anticipated, probably a far worse outcome than we actually realised. And, you know, it's thanks to, you know, all the organisations, all the race courses, all the sales companies, breeders, owners, trainers, all pulling together. I think we've been remarkably resilient as an industry, and you know, we've had a product which people still want to very much participate with. So you know, it's been tough, and you know, we've had to do things in a different way. But I think rather than focus on the negatives, I think there's been a lot of positives that have come out of it. You know, the online sales have been a new development for the industry, and I think that's been a big positive. And, you know, I think we've raised some questions which were arguably being swept under the carpet previous to COVID. And, you know, prize money is the one which is on everybody's lips. And, you know, let's hope that, you know, the awareness of that can be, you know, taken forward over the coming years.
And do you, as a result of that resilience we saw in the yearling market in particular, do you come into this Breeze Up season with a degree of optimism?
I think very much a degree of optimism. You know, we have a fantastic racing program here. You know, Royal Ascot is obviously, you know, one of the world's greatest sporting events, and the Breeze Ups are an integral part of that process. So yes, you know, I think we're, you know, we've got a lot to look forward to, and the Breeze Ups for me are a great way to kick off into the season. You know, there's a lot of excitement around it. It's a great way to look at horses. You can judge probably, you get definitely a better handle on the soundness of the animal when you're buying a Breeze Up horse versus a yearling, which is a key part of it for us. And you know, it's a very exciting time of the year,
and presumably the Craven Book One Royal Ascot bonus can only help with that.
Absolutely. I mean, as I said earlier on, you know, prize money is on the topic on everybody's lips at the moment, and for Tassels to have put up this bonus is a tremendous help for everybody. You know, having targets and goals is what everybody gets involved with horse racing for. Prize money and shooting for something to win is what we're doing it for. So having these targets, having something to aim at, gives us all, you know, a bit of focus at the sales and sharpens the pencil, as it were, to really try and, you know, achieve that goal. And I think it's a fantastic thing for them to have put on, because, you know, we are struggling in this department across the board. And, you know, in order to keep the focus on high quality racing in this country, we need these kinds of objectives. And I think it's a brilliant thing for them to have pulled together. So it will certainly be there and trying to win it.
And I've been looking through, you've done very well out of the Breeze Ups in the past, the likes of Queen of Bermuda, a Spy Catcher came out of the sale last year. Just tell us a little bit about what kind of specific type you're looking for an owner when you go into something like the Breeze Ups. What is your kind of process of selection, if you like, Jake?
It's a conglomeration of everything, really. You know, obviously the yearling sales process of the physique and the pedigree and the movement are all still integral parts of when you're assessing a Breeze Up horse. You know, we still do want to see the same criteria here, but you know, the timing and the way they gallop is obviously that extra bit of information that you get. And also, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the soundness, you know, it's a very important thing, the soundness, and obviously the ability to see a horse gallop on the Monday and assess it on the Tuesday as to whether it's handled that, how it's handled that gallop, you know, for a horse that's got to get up and go straight away is a key part of it. But we would you know, we would factor in the timings. We think it's something which has been a big benefit, and we use it not as an outright decision maker, but we use it as a pretty integral tool. We like to see the horses getting quicker as they go through their breeze, and so that you're looking at a progressive time rather than a regressive time, and so that's a really beneficial tool for us. But you know, the pedigree, the physical, are all still very much key parts of it for us. I mean, Queen of Bermuda, she was the soundest filly. She came out of the Breeze Ups, she breezed as quick as lightning, and we had to give a fair bit for her. We paid 230,000 for her, and she was out of a decent race mare herself, a black type mother. But I think she ran 11 times as a 2-year-old, and she hardly ever was out of the frame. She had legs like iron, and that is really, in my view, the biggest benefit of a Breeze Up horse, is that, you know, if you get it right, they tend, you've got the advantage of understanding how sound they can be, and you can get them on the track, you know, hopefully within a matter of weeks, which is, you know, in this day and age where speed is everything and people want immediate return on their investment, you know, the Breeze Ups are a fantastic way of doing that.
Yeah, well, we wish you the best of luck at this year's sale. Hopefully you can find another one of those. And just very quickly, obviously under your various different roles at Highclere Stud, what's happening on the farm? I imagine a very, very busy time at the moment, but an exciting time with all the stallions, Jake.
Absolutely. We are in the thick of it, as you can imagine. Easter weekend for anybody that runs a stud farm is hands down the busiest weekend of the year. The Cable Bay has got another fantastic book of mares, which is great. And Landforce has just had its first crop of foals on the ground. And we've been seriously excited by those. They're all coming out big, strong, hardy looking foals that are very mature, very, you know, in his look and feel. They've got the same physique as him. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, Gina, if we're talking about him come the Breeze Ups in a couple of years' time, because they look like they'd be horses that will really take that kind of, take that early two-year-old career in their stride. So it's a very exciting time for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw an absolute cracker on one of those lovely pictures on Twitter of some of the first foals. So wish you the best of luck with him. Look forward to seeing you at the Breeze Ups, and thanks so much for your time, Jake.
Pleasure, Dina. Thanks very much.
It's undoubtedly an exciting time for any farm, breeder or owner looking ahead to a new season. However, for every Breeze Up vendor, it's one which inevitably sees everything that is humanly possible to cross firmly done so, as they hold their breath for horses arriving at the sales without hitch. And I imagine that is exactly what Grove Stud's Brendan Holland will be doing currently. Now, he is one of the leading Breeze Up consigners responsible for the sale of horses of the calibre of the Great Gatsby, Rodshoe Queen, Aster, and Stormy Antarctic, amongst many others, and an expert at selecting yearlings for resale at these two-year-old sales. And I couldn't wait to delve into his thoughts and the secrets to his success. But I started by asking him if, given the circumstances of last year, it had affected his investment in yearlings this time around.
I try to ignore what the short-term outlook would be like as regards you know, would we be racing as normal? Would we be sitting locked down? What would the economy be like? I think if you pay too much, you know, concentrate too much on what I would consider outside stuff, which is outside of your control, you lose focus on the main thing, which is trying to buy nice horses. And it feeds in a negativity into your buying process. So while I wasn't convinced or confident that things would be back to normal, I try to ignore them and buy as if they were, because the fear is, you know, when you go in and buy less confident, you try and spend less, and no one has ever managed to spend less and maintain the same quality ever.
And did you find the market slightly softer at the yearlings, or were you quite surprised with how strong it was?
I was surprised in places how strong it was, but overall it was softer. You know, I did quite a bit of buying in America, like I always do. Not that I think there are any better horses there, but I don't sell in America, so I can concentrate more. And it's such a vast number of horses being sold in such a short space of time, there can be bits of value there. That was definitely softer. I would think every sale in Europe was softer bar one, and that was book two.
And Blarney, how much will this new Tattersall's Craven Royal Ascot Group 1 bonus affect the horses you bring to sale, and indeed the ability to be able to sell them? Do you see that as a real positive?
Yeah, for sure. It must be a positive. And the fact that it was announced prior to selection, I think, will have focused the minds of the consigners to present more of a quality tool at the Tat sale. And I can see it as being a big positive for the Craven. And hopefully it works, and it's a big investment on their part to support something like this. And, you know, I hope A, they're rewarded by the presentation of the horses, and B, by the prospective clients coming to the sale.
And with that in mind, what sort of horse do you bring to a sale like the Craven traditionally? What are you looking for, obviously, with this bonus in mind, looking at Royal Ascot? Do you bring a certain model of horse? Does it affect what you bring to sale?
Well, it does. First of all, for any year as a 2 year, I like the draft to be even physically. I like the draft to be of a type. I don't like to be pulling out horses of different shapes and sizes into one draft at an individual sale. So I always would struggle to have a lot of mature two-year-old types, even though I'm a two-year-old consigner. I tend to buy more. I've always tended to buy more of a Scorpio or three-year-old type. This year, I think I've brought a nice two-year-old strong type to the Craven. Unfortunately, there's a couple of them have missed it. I had six there originally, but it looked to be a nice even draft.
And Blani, what sort of model are you looking at when you're doing your yearling selection? You've mentioned a couple of the US pedigrees. You've done particularly well with those in the past. Is there a certain sires that stand out for you? Is it purely a physical? What are those attributes you're looking for?
First of all, because I'm selling yearlings, I'm constrained by time and the number of yearlings that I can look at sales. So I like to look at proven sires or the proven dams, and I would look at a very small number of first season sires. Because what I'm curious to see what they look like, I haven't had the time to look as many as I would want to look at. So I pick out one or two of the top, what I would say the best racehorses when they stood that year, but mostly I stick to proven. Proven young mares, proven stallions. Trip-wise, doesn't really bother me. Most are proven stallions. You know, you're looking, if you want to sell more quality horses, you have to present more quality pedigrees.
So you're looking down at those pedigrees first, and then you're going and seeing the physicals, and what is it that you're in particular honing in on with the physicals?
Balance and movement. Balance more than size. And you know, you're always trying to buy the most pedigree you can afford, so you're selecting the good physicals out of those pedigrees. You do your second looks, you narrow it down again. You may leave some horses on if they come at value. And I found last year, more so than any other year, there was a few of those we left on that we would buy them if they fell in a certain price bracket, and surprisingly they did. But it's all about the balance of the type of horse, you know, and as you got the athletic movement. And then, I mean, you'll bid on, I would think if you shortlist the 10 horses, you'd be lucky to get one or two out of every 10 that you shortlist. That would be an average. And I mean, and out of every 100 you look at, you would be lucky to get 10 or 15 left out of that 100, you know, between your second looks and your vettings.
And I noticed in the draft you've got a Ribchester. We mentioned first season size. Was that a particular horse that stood out for you, or a sire that you liked going to stud?
You've reminded me of the one that's not going to the sales, not as a maiden.
Ah, okay. Well, tell us anyway why you picked him out originally.
Well, I tell you two things. Like Ribchester was top class. You know, like Ribchester was a bona fide Group One horse. So I looked at a few Ribchesters for sure. And second thing, I had a little bit of a vested interest because I had a share in his half-sister that Roger Marley and John Cullen sold as a two-year-old. Listening to Kevin Ryan trains, she just won her maiden. Her first start last year was in the Lauder, so she's an above average filly. So while she hadn't won when the Ribchester went through the ring, I knew she was better than average. So, and I liked him, he was a lovely type. And he's had a very small setback, unfortunately. He won't be ready, it will be a rush to get him ready for the Craven. There's no point if he's a nice horse.
And it's a slightly earlier sale date, isn't it, this year, which kind of, I guess, puts a little bit more pressure on. Just tell us about the rest of your draft and how pleased you are with the other four.
I'm pleased I've made it. And I got a Union Rags, big, fine, mature-looking horse, and I got a Thunder Colt, the bottom book three. He's another horse with a bit of size, but he looks mature physically. And I have two fillies, a Kitten's Joy filly and a Showcasing filly. Two attractive fillies that look like they can run a bit. So I wish that the six that I'd lined up had made it, but like it's always the case every year something doesn't make.
I know a lot of people are interested in vendors' views on this, but timing, the age-old question of whether there should be official times, comes up time and again with the breeze-ups. Are you for or against that, Brendan? Would you like to see that introduced?
I have no problem. There have been timing breeze-ups more or less since I started breezing horses. I remember Malcolm Twaits. He's come over from Singapore, I think, and he was one of the first ones. I think probably was the first one to time horses. So we are used to the horses being clocked. And there was never a stage where the horses weren't prepped to breeze as quick as they could go. The That is completely different thing to having the clock official. When the clock becomes official, I think it focuses the vendors' minds first and foremost too much on the clock. And one of the things that has been a success over here is that we have grown the depth and variety of the type of tools we're presenting. So for instance, last year we had group winners from 5 furlongs Al Ali to Trushan on Champions Day winning the Distance Cup. And that side of the market's continued to develop. So when people are coming to the Breeze Up sales, they know that they're going to be faced with a wide selection of choice in pedigree, distance, etc., not just fast 2 euros. But I would be, you know, if that we have grown the market in the last few years without the official clock, I would hate, and like last year was a fantastic example. In a horrendous year last year, the number of individual buyers went from 128 the previous year to 172 last year, in a horrific year. And that just shows that we're growing our sector of the business without the official clock. So why would you change something that's working? And the next big problem I have with the official clock is from the agent's point of view. Quite a few of the agents aren't hooked up on times. They go by trust their own eyes. They're looking at horses a long time, and they trust the consigners. And they can look at pedigrees. They know that, you know, an Italian isn't going to breed the same as a Kodiak. But the guy they're buying for, and sitting in his office, wherever he may be, in whatever city all over the world, and they buy him something outside the top 50 or the top 70. That takes a bit of explaining.
Yeah, it's a good point. And you've got that,
someone that doesn't know.
Yeah, and you've got that wide range of horses, as you say, coming out of the Breeze Ups. Is there an argument maybe to have different distances that they breeze over and more focused sales into those later developing types versus the sprint types?
Well, it's, the calendar already pans out that way. I mean, it's a little bit strange this year having the first sale being the Craven. Like, historically, the first sale was always Doncaster. That changed a few years ago. Then we had the Ascot sale and we had the Kempton sale. They were like two early, focused on real early type 2 year olds. So at those sales, you got very much a type. You got your 2 year old, you know, so called ready to run horse. Now the Craven is the earliest. Now there's only a week of a difference. But then the late maturing ones, there's a place for them in Arcan and Gore's Bridge. Like, that's late May. There's anything later, that's too late to be selling 2 year olds, really. As regards the question of breezing over 3 furlongs, I don't think there's a requirement. I think the guys buying those staying kind of horses, you know, there's a gallop out of nearly a furlong. It's almost a 3 furlong breeze as it is. They can see enough in they're looking at the horse canter gallop for 3 furlongs as is, you know what I mean? I think a 3 furlong breeze would be too taxing on the horse, myself personally.
Yeah.
Whereas at the moment it's a 2 furlong breeze, but they get to see the horse moving for actually more than 3 furlongs. It's a subtle difference, but I think it's an important difference, and I wouldn't be in favour of it.
So fascinating as always on so many facets of the breeze, and there were certainly endless questions we could have probed Barney with, but one man who'll be happy to hear certainly that the current setup of the Breeze Up sales is very much one supported by vendors is Marketing Director Jimmy George. Now, Barney touched upon the appeal of the new bonus scheme, so I thought we'd find out a little bit more, and I started by asking Jimmy just how optimistic Tattersalls were ahead of a new year.
Gosh, Gina, I'd love to say enormously optimistic, but I suppose one has to be a little bit realistic in the world we live in at the moment. Having said that, look, the sales here at Tattersalls in 2020, I think, defied all expectations and fears and were remarkably resilient and robust and, dare I say, even vibrant, particularly the October yearling sales. So look, there is a demand for quality thoroughbreds, an enduring demand, and we definitely saw that last autumn here at Tattersalls, and very much hope that we'll see the same dynamics at play at the Tattersalls Craven Breeze Up sale, which is upon us shortly. And you know, there's plenty to look forward to as well. We've introduced a new £250,000 bonus for all graduates of this year's Craven Breeze Up sale. That's made up of £225,000 bonuses, either if you win one of the 6 2-year-old races at Royal Ascot, or if any of the this year's graduates go on to win a Group 1 2-year-old race in Europe. So there's a huge amount to aim for all of these graduates of the Craven Breeze Up. And the great news is that the new £250,000 bonus runs alongside the existing £15,000 Craven Breeze Up bonus. So owners buying at this sale really do have a lot of compelling reasons to target the sale. We all know prize money is an issue. There's no escaping that. But Tattersalls is committed to doing as much as we possibly can to reward owners who come and buy at our sales. You know, the £15,000 Craven Breeze Up bonus followed in the footsteps of the enormously popular October Book Run bonus. This £250,000 bonus is another work, you know, another take on the bonus scheme. And as I say, we're enormously committed to trying to provide opportunities for owners wherever we can.
And Jimmy, this was announced, you know, in effect before people were able to invest in their stock for the Breeze Ups. Do you think that's shaped the catalogue in some way? How pleased have you been with the turnout from vendors coming into the Craven?
Yeah, I think the vendors have supported the sale extremely well. They're unbelievably professional. Year after year, they send us some outstanding two-year-olds to the Craven Breeze Up. And they send us some fantastic two-year-olds to the Guineas Breeze Up sale as well. So they're masters of their craft, and they responded extremely well to the whole ethos of the £250,000 bonus for winners at Royal Ascot or Group 1 races. And I believe they've sent the profile of horse that should work well for both of those aspects of the bonus. There are a lot of, certainly on paper, and I think physical make and shape, some really nice precocious types that you'd really hope to see good representation at the Royal Meeting. And obviously, you know, equally good spread of you know, perhaps less precocious but quality classic types who could win Group 1 races towards the end of the season. So yeah, there really is something for everybody, and the vendors have responded very well to supporting the two schemes.
And despite the buoyancy in some of those markets last year, it was obviously challenging for you as a company to juggle the different rules and regulations. And while we're not entirely out of the woods on that front, how do you see 2021 playing out in terms of your ability to be able to welcome back some of those people that previously haven't been able to attend the sales ground?
Yeah, look, we cannot pretend that the world's returned to normal yet. Obviously, everybody knows that. There are still challenges, particularly for overseas people wishing to come into Britain. I think pretty well every country has restrictions of some shape, make or shape, and Britain's, you know, Britain's amongst them. But we are doing our level best to make the sales experience at Tattersalls as normal and as comfortable and as enjoyable as possible. And you know, obviously Britain is beginning to you know, the restrictions are beginning to loosen, and come the Craven Breeze Up sale, we will be staging a conventional sale, but still with COVID related restrictions and requirements. But look, I think people will be able to enjoy the sales experience, and they're used to having to respond to the new requirements. And we constantly throughout last year's sales season were having to sort of take our hat off, and you know, we were full of admiration for the way people responded to the challenges, and I'm sure they will continue to do so. And look, it's a really good catalogue, and so many of the best sires in Europe and North America have two-year-olds in the Craven Breeze Up sale, so they're all eligible for an awful lot of bonuses and prize money, so there's plenty to look forward to.
That there is, and that is something that will not be lost on agents, owners and buyers alike at the upcoming sale. I've also been speaking to agent Matt Coleman, who started by assessing just how important the newly initiated bonus scheme will be in the current climate.
I think it will be a big help to trying to attract clients to the sale for sure. There was obviously a bonus connected to the Ascot Breeze Up sale in previous years, and you know, certainly my main Breeze Up client, the Cool Silk Partnership, they were always keen in trying to win that. We bought Sands of Marley from that sale, who actually didn't win at Royal Ascot as a two-year-old, but he was obviously very good. And you know, they used to go to that sale at Ascot trying to win that bonus. So I'm sure they'll aim at the Craven once again and try and win it this year if we can.
And traditionally, what sort of horse is it that is presented at a sale like the Craven? What type of model are you looking at there?
Well, I think in general, there hasn't been that many speedy, precocious two-year-olds in that sale. I mean, I know the likes of Maymass and a few other horses, you know, Anthony Stroud, who I work with, bought Bahrain Pride there at the sale last year, who went on to win a listed race and run well in group company as a two-year-old. But in general, I think there haven't been that many super precocious horses in the Craven sale. And I'm hoping that with this Royal Ascot bonus, you know, that'll encourage the vendor to bring a sharper type of horse to the sale, because I think a lot of clients at the Craven are looking to try and buy precocious two-year-olds they can dream of Royal Ascot with. And you know, talking about that Ascot sale that's now been postponed, I think some of the horses from that Ascot sale could well end up in the Craven sale. And you know, that Ascot market was always for precocious two-year-olds. So I think there could well be a more precocious type of horse at the sale this year.
That said, we are coming in off the back of, you know, very challenging circumstances over the last 12 months. I mean, how difficult does that make your job, you know, owners only just getting the green light in the coming months? Does it make it very difficult to try and sell two-year-olds, for example?
I think it does. I mean, it feels very difficult to gauge from my perspective, you know, how many of our clients are going to buy Breeze Up horses. Obviously, we haven't seen anybody for a long time. Owners haven't been able to go racing. Obviously, for a large part of the flat season last year, there was either no racing or owners couldn't go. So it does feel quite uncertain. The flip side of that is that hopefully people are looking forward to those big meetings, the likes of Royal Ascot and the other good festivals in the summer. And, you know, the Breeze Up sales have been very kind to Anthony and I. We've had some great results out of the Breeze Up sales in general. I mean, we had the winner of the Norfolk Stakes at Royal Ascot twice in 4 years with Prince of Lear and Ayali out of the Breeze Up sales. And, you know, as I said, I've had the likes of Sands of Marley, who won the Kipco Champion Sprint and the Gym Crack. And obviously Prince of Lear, who was one of those Norfolk Stakes winners, went on to sire last year's winner, the Learjet, who would have been at a Breeze Up sale without COVID. So, you know, it is a proven source of top class horses, and I'm hoping that because of that, people want to buy. But it does feel uncertain, and it would be difficult, you know, for me to know at the moment how many horses I'll buy, but I'll certainly be trying.
And how does the selection process work for you, Matt? Are you very focused on timings? Is it similar to yearling selection, where you're going pedigree, physicals? Is it very different picking a Breeze Up horse, for example?
I think it's, you use a number of tools. Obviously, it depends on the type of horse you're trying to buy. If you're trying to buy a precocious, sharp two-year-old, probably times are relatively important. Whereas if you're buying a horse more for longer trips in the future, you'd be far more forgiving and you'd be looking more at sort of how the horse breezes in terms of his action and also his physical appearance and his pedigree. With the sharp horses we've bought that have done well, certainly time is important. Vendor is very important, because you certainly see a trend towards certain vendors that sell good horses. It's a real skill with a Breeze Up horse to have it ready to breeze well, but not to have over-tuned the horse. So when it gets to a trainer, it's mentally and physically shot to pieces. So, you know, you sort of get to learn which vendors are good at that and which vendors you can trust in terms of, you know, they'll try and steer you onto their better horses. And then obviously it's, you know, you, as you say, it's a bit like a yearling sale. You look at the horse, you see how the horse comes out of the breeze soundness wise. You look at the quality of the physical specimen, the pedigree, how the horse moved in the breeze. Also, I quite like to look at how they gallop out after the breeze, because it's not that difficult to get a horse to go quickly for 2 furlongs, but I like to see the horse gallop out well afterwards. And I've had a bit of luck, you know, spotting some horses breezed okay, but have galloped out very well. certainly at Newmarket, you can see sometimes those two-year-olds get a little bit unbalanced in the dip, but once they get on the rising ground in the second half of the piece of work, they tend to pick up very well. So it's a combination of factors, and obviously then you have to factor in your budget, because if you've got big money to spend, you can be far more selective, whereas you've got small budgets, you have to try and find something that everyone else hasn't found. You know, for example, one that might not do a good time for the two furlongs but galloped out well, or might have run very green in the breeze, or you know, might have, you know, just lost its balance momentarily or something like that. So you sort of have to, you know, you can be braver with a big budget, but you have to try and find something that other people haven't spotted if you've, you know, you're trying to buy at lesser money.
Yeah, and this time of year, I mean, on a side note, is always quite exciting for those first crop stallions that are hitting the track, the Profitables, Ribchesters, Almanzors from last year, yearlings. It's quite an exciting bunch, and obviously we'll get to see them a little bit more at the Breeze Up sales, but are there any in particular that you're looking forward to seeing?
I think it's wide open this year. In terms of the precocious types, I've heard a bit of chat about Ardad, who I think I was actually underbidder on him at the Breeze Ups the day I bought Prince of Lear. But yeah, Ardad had some nice yearlings, and there's a bit of chat about him. I think in terms of UK size, I think Ulysses and Time Test had nice stock. You know, probably neither of them will be super precocious, but there are a few of them in the Craven and the Guinea sales, so I'm looking forward to seeing their stock. And in terms of the Irish stallions, you know, Churchill, you know, obviously has had a lot of support. I don't think there'll be too many of them in the Breeze Up sales, but he's a sire I'm looking forward to. And I actually have a bit of a respect for Highland Reel. Again, he's not really going to be a sire of precocious horses, but he was a fabulous racehorse, and I quite liked his stock. I think he could do okay as well. But yeah, I think it's wide open in terms of the first season sire market. But these Breeze Ups definitely give you a good idea of, you know, what the good sires are. A couple of years ago, Knight of Thunder, you know, when you saw his horse's Breeze, you know, I pretty much knew he was going to be a good stallion, because they almost to a horse put their head down, move well, tried hard, and breeze fast. So it was fairly certain that he was going to be a, you know, above average stallion. And I sent a few mares late that season to him on the back of that. So I'm hoping I might be able to spot an up and coming sire this year as well.
Brilliant stuff. We'll have to resume this interview post Breeze Ups for sure, and try and get in on the action.
I'll know more then anyway. Yeah,
absolutely. Matt, thanks so much for your time, and good luck at the upcoming sales.
Thanks very much.
And hopefully on that note, you're now furnished with a little bit more information as we look ahead to another exciting edition of the Craven Sale. A reminder that the horses Breeze on the Rowley Mile Newmarket on the 12th of April before selling in two sessions at Park Paddocks on the 13th and 14th of April. And buyers, as always, will be able to either attend the sale in person or bid via the now very well established live online bidding and telephone bidding platforms. They're all available, of course, through the Tattersall's website. We'll be back to hopefully give you a few more clues ahead of the sale next week here on another edition of the Bloodstock Bulletin. Do find us then on all the usual podcast platforms. Hope you've enjoyed this edition, and until then, have a great week. Goodbye for now.